How many of you here today need peace? I tried every which way to come at this today as I asked the Lord on this Sunday, what is it? What is the message you have? And the theme that he came back to again and again is peace. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me one verse in John chapter 14, 14th chapter, John's Gospel, verse 27, Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And Lord, right now, we pray for a revelation of your peace in our lives. In Yeshua's name, we pray. Amen. Are you confronted by much anxiety in your world? Do you pass by it? Do you have it in your home? Do you have it in your heart? Anxiety, that is. Anxiety is something we have to deal with on a daily basis, moment by moment. Our world has much anxiety. As I was monitoring the several different websites and looking at what people that were saying and seeing emails from friends who were there in Israel, and as the rockets are going over and you can feel the tension and you can feel that going on, and the whole world is sitting on the edge of its seat, as it were, a lot of anxiety. Then you come on the home front and you think about all the struggles that people have every day, issues with money, marriage relationships, children, job difficulties, wondering if you're going to have a job, wondering if you're going to if your health insurance is going to be enough to cover all those questions. Well, I identified three sources of anxiety in our lives. There are probably more than these, but these will describe a lot of things for you. As we think in context, as we set the context of today with that verse from our Lord's lips, "Peace I leave with you. Not such as the world give I unto you." First source of anxiety. When circumstances are uncontrollable. Have any uncontrollable circumstances in your life? And what happens to peace when we give way to uncontrollable circumstances? It goes out the window. As you know, much of our lives, much of what goes around us is out of our control. We get frustrated by a whole panoply of things. You know, driving. I had a guy that the other day pass me on Abercorn. I was going too slow for him. And he passed me, and he just made it in. He was right behind me, and he just, as he went around, he just made it in so he could slam on brakes and turn in to the next road. I thought, what was that about? And then I remembered that I'd done the same thing a few days before. Don't you hate it when that happens? When God gives you that perfect memory. It's like he's playing that movie in your memory, and he even reveals how you were feeling at the time to you. He shows that to you. Uncontrollable circumstances. I want to ask you today, do you have uncontrollable circumstances in your life right now that are driving you crazy? You'd like to go and take the wheel, and in fact, you've probably shaken your fist to heaven a couple of times and say, God, if you just let me get in control of this, I could fix it. Anybody like that? Yeah, of course we. Of course we all feel like that. And then what does God do? He reminds us of the last time we took the wheel. You know that bumper sticker, you may have it on your car. If you do, you need to take it off. The one that says, God is my co-pilot. You know what's wrong with that? Yeah, that's right. He needs to be in the driver's seat. He's not a co-pilot. He's Lord. He's Lord over everything. Three sources of anxiety. First, circumstances are uncontrollable. Second, people that are unchangeable. Oh, now you're messing with things, preacher. Whew! People that are unchangeable. When people are unchangeable, we tend to lose our peace in that situation also, don't we? People naturally resist change. Y'all familiar with the DIS profile? Many of you are. The DISC, it's a personality inventory. Many of you have taken it in your workplace, corporate place to use it. A lot of times we've used it in our church. But the S part of that profile is the steady, the don't like change. You know that personality type, studies have been done, that represents 69.7% of the population of our country. And it, in that personality, it means I want things to be steady just like they are. Resisting change, any kind of change. And then tend to resent change when it's foisted upon you. But how about when, when we have those people that need to change that are in our lives? You ever tried to change anybody? Everybody's married here has tried to do that. Because you thought, you know, now I know we've got all these thousands of years of human history that have gone before, but that's nothing. Because now I'm the one getting married and I can change that person, right? How'd that work out for you? Maybe you've tried the personal improvement program called manipulation for your wife, your husband, and your children. You laid it out there for them, and there you go. But then you had this thing that corporate deals with all the time. There was that non-compliance clause. They didn't go along with it. In fact, they might have gone along with it on the little things, but when they got on the big stage, when they really needed to show that they had changed, they went back to being the same old, and you can fill in the blank or whatever you thought at the time. The name you called them, dot, dot, dot. Got any unchangeable people in your life? Very quick way to lose your peace in life is when you try to change another person. Third area of change of anxiety in our lives is when problems are unexplainable. That old statement, life is not fair. Not everybody is going to have the storybook ending. In fact, does anybody really have that? Is it fair? Things don't always turn out right, do they? And then on top of that, when the circumstances don't go our way, then we have the audacity to ask why. How many why questions do you have out there posted with God on His blog spot right now? You got some whys out there? Why this? Why now? When we don't know why, then we tend to get frustrated. We get anxious, nervous, stressed. We lose our peace. Now I want you to look at another passage of Scripture with me. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Or your electronic device. By the way, how many of you are using one of those as a Bible here now, right now? Okay, well good. It says there, Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in some of the things, wait a second. I just assumed I knew what that meant. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, oh man, he's mounting it up here. We'll come back and parse this one. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now let me read that from another translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all that He's done. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than a human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Jesus definitely had a better way, a more excellent way. For us to live a life of peace. And I know some of you looking at me saying, Pastor, look at the world, look at the circumstances around us. That has been ever since sin came into this world. The peace was broken. Believers have gone before us who have been able to live in peace. How can you do that when you're surrounded by a hellhole of circumstances, of unchangeable people, of things you can't explain that you're constantly wanting to know why? Well, here's how. First part of the verse, those two verses, don't worry about anything. Tell the truth about your anxiety. You need to be honest with yourself and with God about the anxiety that is in your life. Anxiety is a predictable result of worry. Worry begins that process, and that anxious spirit then takes over. And when it's done with us, instead of being at peace about everything, we're anxious about everything. We're not only anxious about what we began being anxious about, but everything else has been infected by it. Why? Because it's taken over our heart. Therefore, it touches everything we touch. You know that an anxious spirit is contagious? studies have shown that even in the womb, the unborn child can feel that. Audrey was convinced at one time, when she was pregnant with our first child, Brendan, as he would kick, we'd be laying there next to one, and I'd be asleep and snoring, that he would be kicking me to make me stop snoring. Little memory tool there, so you can, told you that one. No, that's not a lie. That's a maybe an embellishment a little bit, but it was true. He was kicking. Even the child in the womb can feel what's going on around. We can walk in the house, a house where there was peace, and an anxious spirit can come in with us, and it destroys the peace in the household. Anxiety affects our health. It's the root of all sorts of human maladies. Physical illness. Much of it comes from an anxious spirit. It's at the root. It affects our relationships that we have. It shortens our lives by years. It cheapens our lives where our time is spent wasted on anxiety and not spent living a fully invested life in Christ. It's a killer. God desires that anxious spirit be gone. That's why he says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. God desires that we experience his presence in every situation so we can give him that anxious spirit. But what do we usually do? We take our bucket of things that we're anxious about. We very religiously place it on the altar. And then we turn to leave it at the altar. And we carry it back with us. Can I get a witness on that? Because what happens when you do this? This means faith. This means you have released it to the Lord of all. He says next, instead pray about everything. Number two. In other words, turn to Jesus with all your problems. Let him have them. Put them in his lap. God desires that we depend upon him for all of our needs. And so many times we are dependent, especially in our culture, we have such a cerebral approach to the things of the Lord. And we're assuming I can make decisions based on what I've done before. That's assuming that we knew what to do before. When every day is a new adventure that we've got to trust the Lord with as we step out in faith and in trust. Our human resources will always fail. That's why we must pray about everything and let God speak. Like Jesus, peace be still. He says, tell God in that verse. Third thing, we need to make our relationship with him primary. You see, there's nothing that comes into our lives that God has not allowed. He's sovereign. It means he's overall. He let things come. They're tests every day to see if we're going to trust Him. To see if we're going to trust Him with the circumstance. To see if we'll trust Him when we don't know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, who to do it with. We don't know the answer to any of the questions. You see, it gets back. What did I say last week? It's personal. It's about a personal relationship with God Himself. He says, tell God what you need. We need to be honest with Him about our needs. Now, does that mean that God is listening to our prayers for information? That we're going to inform God about things? God, let me inform you. There is one theology that is floating about out there that does intimate that, but it's heresy. God knows everything. He's omniscient. By definition, God. He even created time. He's God. He's over all. So, when we are being honest with Him, that means we're coming into agreement with what's wrong in our lives, with the challenges that we have. And we're saying to God, God, I see it. You see, there's no such thing as the good news unless there's also the bad news. Because the good news isn't good unless there's bad news. And see, that great quote from E.D. Hill, he said, all of us, what we want to do is act like we ain't never done nothing. That we've got it all under control. We must be honest with Him. Are you being honest in your prayers? Honest before God? I mean, to the point of saying, God, I'm just angry about this. And you know, I've had people scold me about this that I'm about to say to you, but I believe it's true. Even when we're saying to Him, God, why aren't you coming and doing something? You say, you're belly aching to God. Well, hey, if you're not going to share all of what's on your mind, your everything about you, what you're thinking with Him, and be honest about that, then who else are you going to share it with? But here's the deal. You can't do that, be that honest with Him, unless you're also willing to sit by and listen to what He has to say. What do you have to say to me? When you get it all out, here it is. He goes on. He says, and thank Him for all that He has done. See, in the middle of this, and that's why this is so appropriate, Thanksgiving season. In the middle of this, we're talking about needs, we're talking about lack of peace, and here in the middle of this, Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God breathed this, he's talking about thanksgiving, that we've got to come to God with thanksgiving. But you see, what that is recognizing, is recognizing that everything comes from Him. That we thank Him. It's about Him. It's about His agenda. His track record is impeccable. Look back in your life. Has He ever let you down? Answer to that? No. Prove it if He's let you down. No, you can't prove it. What you can prove if you look honestly at the history, at the circumstances, you can prove what sin has done in your life. What your own choices have done in your life. What the sin of the world has done in your life. But here is God. Great things He has done. Who in these last days, Hebrews 1, has spoken unto us by His Son. He has even given His only begotten Son. Thank Him. Say, well, I'm just zeroing in on my problems right now, but thank Him for what He's done in the past. You start thanking Him, and more and more and more will come out of your soul. He said, if you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. You'll receive God's peace. That's my sixth point. We receive His peace as a gift. It's not something you work for or earn. It is a gift. Now track with me on this. You remember that time when you were so distraught? You came to Him in prayer. You in an unworkable circumstance with unworkable people, with things you could not understand beyond explanation, and you laid it out before God. And though you can't explain it, though you can't put it into words, though you have all the volumes that have ever been written on the face of the planet in which to do it, you can't explain it, but peace came over your soul. Just like when Jesus came walking on the water and His disciples who were in the middle of the storm, what did He say? Peace. Be still. Do you believe His word? Belief in His Word is not intellectual assent. It is faith putting it into practice. And His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. There's the promise. That we can then continue to live under His cover. God desires that we live under His protection. He will guard our minds and our hearts from the onslaught of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and all of His angels. The world system wants to knock us down. Our own flesh, we make bad choices. The evil one and all of his minions that are out there and against us. But when we choose by faith to live under His cover, as it says, His peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It's not a fleeting peace unless we choose. It's the gift that He has given us. It's like the eye of a hurricane. Everything swirling around us, but in the middle, His peace. So, how do we continue this idea of walking under His cover and in His peace? We need to walk in vital relationship with Him every day and know that every moment, that it's not just a gathering once a week and another time in a small group sometime during the week. That's not enough. It's every day walking with Him every moment. It's spending time in His Word, the Bible, pouring over that. And I'm sorry, not just one time during the day. That's great, but to reflect on His Word throughout the day. It's talking to Him in prayer and then listening to what He has to say as we lay out the things and we're honest with Him in prayer. It's being part of the body of Christ. Being a vital part of His body, His hands and feet on this earth. Being that Jesus with skin on. It's resisting the devil. And it's telling him there are times he's got to be told, no! You're not coming in here. Drawing a line in the sand and saying, no! I'm not going to receive that. It's submitting your life to Christ. God is under no obligation to cover you if you are choosing to run out from under His cover. That's right. Now, by His mercy and grace, He might do it. But He's under no obligation. But for those who know Him and choose to live in faith with Him, He says, I'll be with you. Let's hear the verse again that we began with. And I'll read it from another translation, John 14. I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. This is Jesus speaking to you and to me. Couldn't you use this gift of peace? Why not receive this gift of peace from your Lord? I know the quick question is, but how is all this other stuff going to work out? Give me the details. What did we do? We left. We took the worry and the junk out of our hands, and then it made our hands free to worship, to pray, to receive what He wants to give. It's peace. My peace. You know, His disciples, when He came on the walking on the water. Remember what they said after that? They marveled. They said, even the wind and the waves obey Him. Well, if the wind and the waves obey Him, how about the stuff in your life? Is He Lord over that? Why not allow Him to be that? He gives you a choice. Choose today. I'm going to open the altar. If you'd like to come and pray, you can come. Our pastors will be here and our life group leaders around. Some of them will be around to pray with you if you like that. We'd love to pray with you. My yoke is what? Did He say? Is what? Is easy and my burden is light. Why not trade in our anxiety for the yoke of His love? Let's pray again. Jesus, You are Lord over all. I thank You today for your death, burial, and resurrection. I thank you today. Lord, you came, you lived a perfect life, you died on the cross, you arose on the third day, you ascended back to the Father, and you're coming soon for the second time to take us out of this world. And we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We bless you. We give to you all the junk, all the stuff, all the things about which we worry today. Lord, come. Come and speak. Come today. Come and bring joy and peace in our lives. Lord, as we trust you. Come now, Lord. We bless you. The altar's open. We continue to pray. One of the things I want to speak to you, the Lord spoke this to me early this morning. Dane alluded to part of it earlier today. We're entering a season where family relationships are going to be highlighted. And that's good in some situations. That's bad in some other situations. And a time where we need peace. We need to walk under the direction of God. All these other things are going to fill your time over the next weeks. We come into the Advent season and we celebrate His coming to the earth. All this other stuff is going to be there. God wants us to have peace. Walk in peace. There are so many people around us who are going to be all temped stuff. And so many are without Christ. Lord, I'm asking right now that your peace would fall upon us, that by faith we can receive your peace as a gift today. Thank you. Just remember, when you're in Walmart, Kroger, in the mall, in Abercorn Street, and fill in the blank of all those other places. You're an agent. You're sent there by God to bring peace, the ultimate peace of the Lord, to that situation. Remember that. You're being deputized right now by the Lord to take His peace. He said, "My peace I give unto you." If we're going to be like Christ, we've got to give that deep. Yeah. Going great.